Good evening. You can see each and every one of you. You can see I still nasal, but we'll if you're having trouble hearing, let me know and I'll try speaking a bit louder. We're on the Holy Spirit, and we have started this Sunday, and we'll hopefully finish the lesson number one. Who is the Holy Spirit? And we had talked about some of these. I'll go to this part here. The Holy Spirit is named different names in the Bible. Most of these are the New Testament ones that we have listed here. This is like the Holy Spirit, or if you got the King James Version, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord, the Helper and Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of Grace, the Good Spirit, the Spirit of the Living God, the Spirit of your Father, promise of the Father, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Eternal Spirit, the Spirit of Life, and the Spirit of the Holiness. You see, he has different names that we're listed in that we're talked about when we're talking about the Holy Spirit. And you'll see, you know, he with the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ, and also one of the main ones I listen to, he's also called a helper or a comforter. And Jesus had told him that the apostles that he would send them a comforter to guide them in all things, particularly for remembrance of the things that they have seen that Jesus well had done. And also the Holy Spirit will help them when they're out preaching the gospel this way. But also the helper and comforter is for us also. The term is, I think, is a very good one. We need help just like the apostles needed help, needed comfort. Well, we need comfort times too. And the Word of God that the Holy Spirit revealed is a comfort to us also. So let's remember these things. And we gave the example of here now in Acts, the 5th chapter, when Ananias lied. Peter told us, in verse 3, Peter said to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" And he didn't know. From that standpoint, he says, here you have told a lie about the sum of money that you got for this land. And he said, you have lied to the Holy Spirit. Then you're looking down the last part of verse 4. He says, you have not lied to man, but to God. So we see here now that Holy Spirit, according to Peter, is God. And if he is true, then there are some attributes of deity that the Holy Spirit should have. And if you look here in here's some list here. Eternal. Hebrews, the 9th chapter, verse 14. If you want to turn there and read that just for a minute. Hebrews 9, chapter, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, this is the Holy Spirit he's talking about, eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So if he's eternal now, that will be a classification or attribute or characteristic of God or a deity. He's omnipresent, omnipotent. And also we talked about having foreknowledge. In Acts, the 1st chapter, verse 16, we had talked about were through the mouth of David, he told about Judas, how he was going to be with those, be the guide to those that are going to arrest Jesus. So he knows what's coming. Foreknowledge here. He's an infinite life, infinite love, and infinite holiness. Well, if you look at these verses, somebody has a question about this Sunday, and I thought it was a very good question. If you look it up in Romans, and it doesn't say the word infinite life, it doesn't say infinite love, it doesn't say infinite holiness. But if he's eternal, what does infinite mean? Endless. So if he's eternal, there is no end for it. So his life, his love, his holiness is eternal, endless. Because this is the characteristic of deity. And if he is eternal, like Peter called him God. So if Peter calls him God, then he should have these characteristics of a deity or of a God. And you look at scriptures, he does. All right, let's talk about works now. Works that could only be done by deity. If he is deity, if he is God, then he's got these attributes, these characteristics. Well, there are certain things that he can do. Well, we saw that in creation, the Genesis first chapter, verse 2, that the Holy Spirit and God were in creation. And he also listed revelation of God's will to man. We know that word we get this from, the revelation of God's will, read in and look into the mind. Confirmation of God's wills and servants. Inspiration, incarnation, regeneration, which we had talked about in Titus. Sanctification, intersection, convention, and comfort. Excuse me. Look at the comfort again. John, the 14th chapter. John 14, look at verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper or comforter, that he may abide with you, what, forever. Now, he's talking to the apostles here. He says, look, I'm leaving. But God the Father is going to send somebody to you, but it's just the Holy Spirit, which he will comfort you. This is what the characteristics here we're talking about, that he can comfort you or give you comfort or give you the knowledge that you need to have when you're out here. He's going to give you power. That he said that he may abide forever. For as long, you do not have to worry about it. He's going to be with you. Times don't get hard. We look at Paul and see what a hardship that he'd been through. But he had the Holy Spirit with him to comfort him through this. All right, look at verse 16. Excuse me, I want to go back to 4. Now, I want to go to the 26 in this chapter. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will what? Teach you all things and bring to you remembrance all things that I said to you. Now, what do you think the apostles, when they heard that? They've been with Jesus. They've seen him done so many things. They've listened to his teaching, his parables. And he said, now that you're going able to remember all these things. I can't even remember what I did yesterday, let alone what Christ did a year ago. But he said, you don't have to worry. That's where he's a comfort. He's a helper for you. He's going to bring you all remembrance of these things. Look at the 15th chapter, verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, that's another terminology, remember? The Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of me. He's coming from the Father, and he will testify of me because he is the Spirit of truth. That means you count on it. And you can see why he kept on using the term comforter or helper. All right, I want to look at 16 verse 7 just for a second too. Nevertheless, I will tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So I have to go away. You cannot receive the helper unless I go away. You cannot have this comfort, this helper, this Spirit of truth unless I go away. You're not going to have this remembrance of everything unless I go away. So you can see what a great blessing it is to have that comforter with them. Well, it's the same thing with you and I. The message that he gave, the Spirit of truth, we have it right here in front of us. As he comforts them or helps them, what do you think he's going to do for us? You've got the comforter right in front of you. When times are good, pick the Bible up and rejoice with that. When times are bad, take comfort in the Word of God. Take the blessings that, like Jesus telling these the apostles here. Can you imagine, though, that they've been with Jesus all, and they're going to lose him? You know what? How that's going to affect them. But knowing that you have this comforter, this helper that's going to come in to take care of you, that has to be a great blessing to them. Well, it's a great blessing to you and I also. We just need to take advantage of it. It's the reason we recommend this Bible reading every day. When times are down, pick up the Word of God. And the Spirit will comfort you. Now, the Spirit will not talk to you outside His Word. You're not going to receive it. I'm up here now. I don't have that Spirit giving me the guide that's here like this apostle did. But I can study His words and see what He has for you and I. And that's what we have to do. Any questions or comments? Freddie? Yeah, we're going to get into that some too. Doug had called me Saturday and said he was going to speak about the Holy Spirit and about that, the Godhead or thing. That's fine. I need help. That's with that way too. But it's going to be enforced what we're talking about. It's just going to be an additive thing for us. We'll be getting into some of the things that he talked about the Godhead. Right now, we're just showing you this part right here. That Holy Spirit is God. He's deity. He's got the attribute, and he's got the characteristics of it, and the work that he does shows you that he's deity. All right. Holy Spirit has all the qualities and characteristics and attributes of a person or an individual. Okay. Now, we talk about him as God. Peter says that Holy Spirit is God. And we've shown, look at the deity, the characteristics thing. All right. What we're going to look at now is a attribute of a person or as an individual. And what we're trying to say is, Holy Spirit is not an it. He's not an essence like water. It's an it. It don't have no human intelligence. It doesn't have intelligence, period. Electricity, it's an it. The Holy Spirit is not an it. It has these characteristics of an individual also. And it has shown that it does have intelligence. What can an individual do? Well, he talks about it. An individual hears, speaks, guides, teaches, Reminds, forbids. Acts 16:6-7. I'll tell you why. I won't read it right now. But Paul and his companions were wanting to go to Asia. But the Holy Spirit forbade them or forbid them to go into there. And then Paul has a dream where this man from Macedonia comes in a dream or in vision, and he says for him to come. So Paul understood what it was. It was not time for Paul and his companions to go to Asia. Now, he does go to Asia, but not at this particular time. He went to Macedonia. That's where the Spirit led him, or was wanting to guide him into that way, and he forbid him to go. And Paul didn't go. He comforts, he searches, and he strives. These, see, are characteristics there of a person or an individual. That's what he is. He's not like the wind. Wind is another it. It has none. And you'll see in all the characteristics, always use the pronoun he. So it has the characteristics of it. He's deity. He's God. But he has the characteristics also of an individual. He has intelligence with that. All right, the following things that can be done to a person, the Holy Spirit can be grieved, it can be insulted, and it can be blasphemed, which we'll have a lesson on that. He can be lied to, and he can be resisted. In Acts 7:51, if you turn there, Acts 7:51. Now this is Stephen talking. And he's preaching to these Jews. And he says in verse 51, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears." Now you think he got their attention? When you be called that? Stiff-necked, and especially them being called uncircumcised, be a Gentile. "You always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you." Why are you resisting the Holy Spirit? Why do you think you can resist the Holy Spirit? They're acting like they are, and that's the reason he calls them that way. Because you're not opening your heart to the Holy Spirit, which is God. And you're resisting him. And that's the reason he calls them, "You stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart." You are just like your fathers. And how many times we've read about, Doug will be talking about it. This next lesson, the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. How many times did the prophets, what did the Jews do to them? To the messenger. These are men from the message from God, and they resisted him. They killed him sometime. And this is what they said. They have done these things, and you can resist the Holy Spirit. And you can be doing this thing, and the Holy Spirit can be grieved and insulted about this. Things that a person has. The Holy Spirit has a mind, affection, knowledge, and will. Let's look at affection. Romans 15:30. Romans 15:30. "Now I beg you, brethren," this is Paul talking, "through the Lord Jesus Christ, and through the love of the Spirit." Now this is the Spirit love. The Spirit has love. The love of the Spirit. that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. So he's telling him now, okay, see these characteristics he's got? He has a mind, he has affection, he has knowledge, and he has will. He is not an it. And I know sometimes the King, I believe the King James has it listed as the Holy Spirit when he talks about sometimes an it. That's not a good translation. The translation is always in the masculine pronoun he. So you have God, the Holy Spirit is God, it's called, Peter said that. He has the attributes and deity of that. He also has the attribute and deed and characteristics of a person, an individual. He's separate. He's not God the Father or God the Son. He said, the Holy Spirit is a distinct member of the Godhead. He's one with God and the Father and with God the Son. Now, the term Godhead, if you had a King James Version, it's listed three times. Acts 17:29, Romans 1:20, and Colossians 2:9. However, you've got the New King James Version, which I use. The first one, Acts 17:29, is translated, not Godhead, but divine nature. But the other two, Romans 1:20 and Colossians 2:9. Let's turn over to Colossians, the second chapter, verse 9. Colossians 2, verse 9, it says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, or in bodily form. The Godhead. That's a term here, Godhead, which is also talking about it has a divine nature about it. And as we saw, Doug present the lesson here. You got God the Father, you got God the Son, and you got the Holy Spirit, which is a God. You got three gods, but they're what? They're one. The Son is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the Father, and the Father is not the Son. So you got a Godhead. You got three heads here that are God. And I know, as like Doug talked about, it's hard to understand all some of this stuff. And he uses the relationship of the marriage, which you find in Genesis, the second chapter. You become the two, man and woman. Not two men, not two women. Man and woman become one flesh. Two men, two women don't come one flesh. Man and woman comes one flesh. That's God's marriage. And also talk about the local church right here. How many members you see here? But we're one body. We're each individual. But as a group, we come together to what? To form one body. We come here to edify each other, help each other out. We come here to sing. We come here to pray together. And we come here to observe the Lord's Supper in one place. We come together. Doug did ask a lesson on that. We come in one place, not in our own individual thing. We're watching. We're in one place observing the one body. Freddie?
Years ago, we attended a class on Bird's Eye View of Power. And one of the examples taught that's always stuck with me concerning the Godhead was they gave the example of a cold winter day. You go down to the pond, there's snow over there, then there's ice, and below that is water. Three forms of water.
Right? And you look at the apostles. There's another one. Jesus prayed they would all be one, just as he and the Father are one in John 17, verse 11. 12 distinct individuals, but they were united in power, purpose, authority, and action. The same with the Godhead. Now, here's an example of Matthew, the third chapter, verses 13 and 17, where you have all three of them together. When Jesus was baptized by John, we had the Father in heaven, the Son was on earth, and the Spirit was seen descending upon the Son in the form of a dove.
Rose.
Yeah.
This is like a dove, because when the Spirit came on the apostles, it was like the tongues of fire. So it's just a way for us to visualize how the Spirit came a form that we could understand.
That's right. That's the whole point of it, the visualization, because how else are you going to describe a spirit? Can you describe a spirit? Can anybody describe a spirit? I can't.
And I wanted to go back to the apostles. As I was studying this, I thought that is an excellent point, because talk about diversity among the apostles. You have one who's a representative of the Roman government in the form of a tax collector,
right,
like Matthew. And then you have Simon, who was a zealot, completely opposed to the Romans being present in the country. So, yet they were able to work together.
You look at Paul, how devout Jew he was. Yeah, Luke, which had a physician that way. It is. That's true. It's a good point. With it, that there is that diversity thing, but what are they? They're to come together for one purpose. And that is to glorify Jesus. And the way how they do it is because they're filled with the Holy Spirit to guide them and comfort them. When was the other three together? When you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit together? Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. No. Creation. You have Genesis, first chapter. You have the Father, God, and the Holy Spirit. In John, you talk about the Word was coming up, was Jesus, was at the beginning. So, at the beginning of what? Freddie?
In Genesis 1:26, the scripture says, let us make man in our equivalent. A lot of people think in our denomination, as Doug pointed out, they believe that God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one deity. Mm-hmm.
But we have now that we have three distinct figures in the Godhead. You have God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they all have their place. They all have their function. But they're what? They're all united for the same purpose. The same. And that is for the salvation of mankind. Remember that the Spirit is love. He's concerned about your salvation too. You got God that's concerned about your salvation. You got Jesus who came down here and died for you and I. And you got the Holy Spirit that revealed the Word that tells us how you and I can be saved. All three of them are wanting us to be saved. Just remember that. He's there to help you go to heaven and spend an eternity with them. All right, now in conclusion, the Holy Spirit is not a divine influence or force extended from God the Father. It's not an it. It's not an influence. It's a God. It's an individual, and it has deity. He is a distinct member of the Godhead, equal in power and purpose with the Father and Son. They've got the one purpose, for you and I's salvation. The Holy Spirit is a difficult subject. I'll admit that. The reason why? There's so many different people out here that thinks and feel that they have the Holy Spirit. I can guarantee you they do not. That's a charlatan. That's not how you receive the Holy Spirit. And that's what we'll go through in our lessons to show you. What we're doing tonight, or Sunday tonight, is laying a foundation of what we're hoping for, is that you understand the Holy Spirit is in the Godhead. And that says we may understand less about Him than we do the Father and Son. Well, one of the main reasons, we just don't study it. That's the reason we're doing it. Everybody's been afraid of it, scared of it, studying about the Holy Spirit. Well, let's don't be afraid more. Everybody don't want to study Revelations. Revelation is victory. It's pure and simple. The Holy Spirit, God, part of the Godhead. We need to know about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's the reason we're studying this. However, the Holy Spirit is a subject of the Bible. And that's the only source that you're going to get. You cannot go to any other source for the Holy Spirit. You will not find Him in philosophy. You won't find Him in science. You can't do it. We must study to learn all we can about the third member of the Godhead. But we must also be content with what the Bible says about the nature and work of the Holy Spirit. Don't go beyond the source. Basically, the source here is in front of you. That's God's Word revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. Listen to Him. He's revealed to us, and we will be studying about it. Thank you.